3, 2, 1.
What will the world look like 10 or 20 years from now? The Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a peek. And we can't wait to show you what's coming. Subscribe now.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, January 5th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. If you're working on your New Year's resolutions, you might consider adding one more to the list: decluttering your digital life. All those emails, photos, and more could be overwhelming to think about, much less tidy up. So for today's show, we invited our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon, to join us with some tips on how to do just that. That's coming up after these headlines. More tech layoffs in the new year. We report exclusively that Amazon's job cuts will affect more than 17,000 employees, more than the company initially planned and more than any big tech company has revealed in the past year. In November, Amazon said it was beginning layoffs among its corporate workforce. At the time, a source said the company expected the cuts would affect about 10,000 people. Meanwhile, Salesforce is cutting 10% of its nearly 80,000 workers. The business software provider also plans to reduce its office space in certain markets. Co-CEO Mark Benioff said the cuts are a result of customers pulling back on spending and the company's aggressive hiring at the start of the pandemic as revenue surged. Salesforce stock jumped on news of the cuts. It had fallen almost 46% over the past year. Meta has been fined the equivalent of over $400 million in Europe for violating EU privacy laws. The company has said its contracts with Facebook and Instagram users let it show personalized ads based on users' activities on their platforms. But on Wednesday, a top EU privacy regulator, Ireland's Data Protection Commission, ruled Meta can't do that. The ruling delivers one of the bloc's biggest blows yet to the digital ad industry. Meta said it disagrees with the ruling and plans to appeal. Coinbase will pay a $50 million penalty to settle accusations that it let customers open accounts without conducting sufficient background checks on them. New York State's Department of Financial Services said the crypto exchange made itself vulnerable to be used for criminal conduct, including potentially money laundering. Coinbase's chief legal officer told The Wall Street Journal that it's taken, quote, substantial measures to address those historical shortcomings. As part of the settlement, Coinbase will also have to invest $50 million into its compliance program over the next 2 years. Twitter says it'll start letting more political ads on the platform, the latest policy change under new owner Elon Musk. It's a reversal from 2019 when most political advertisements were banned under then-CEO Jack Dorsey. Like many other social media companies, most of Twitter's business comes from advertising. For example, in 2021, ads made up about 89% of the company's $5 billion in revenue. In a small victory for TikTok, South Dakota's Rapid City Council has voted down a proposal that would have banned the app on city devices and networks and prohibited city agencies from using it. But TikTok still faces much bigger challenges in Washington. Some in the Biden administration want to force TikTok's owner, Beijing-based ByteDance, to sell the app to a U.S. company. Plus, a bipartisan group of Congress members have introduced a bill that would ban TikTok for all Americans, not just public servants with government devices. And if you watch Netflix using someone else's account, get to binging those shows now. The streaming giant is planning on cracking down on password sharing and asking those who do to pay up. Our reporter, Sarah Krause, has been speaking with people familiar with the plan, and she says those changes are likely to begin soon. But Netflix knows it'll be a tricky balancing act.
So on the upside, it could deliver additional revenue to Netflix. You could get people paying a few or more extra dollars to share, which is additional revenue per user on those accounts. On the flip side, this could really annoy people. And you have people who are very used to sharing other people's Netflix accounts and kind of feeling like it was something that was encouraged. And so there's a real risk of customer frustration, disappointment, anger. And there's also a risk that people are at a point with this pure saturation of other streaming services on the market that they don't feel that they need Netflix. So perhaps if they're frustrated by this change, they say, you know what? I wasn't watching it that much anyway. There's plenty of other content for me out there elsewhere. See you later.
Earlier this week, we told you about how at CES this year, there could be fewer Chinese companies exhibiting because of tensions between Washington and Beijing, not to mention COVID restrictions. Well, at the trade show, our personal tech news editor, Shara Tipkin, got to sit down with one Chinese electronics company that did make it out, TCL. Shara got a rundown from their marketing chief, Stefan Stray.
Stefan, thank you so much for talking with us today. So tell me a little bit about what TCL is showing here at CES.
So, of course, besides showing a lot of new TV models, some really large TV models as well, and latest display technology, we on the mobile side focus on the 40 series, which is smartphones, which is the launch of some of our new models for this year. Then we show next paper display technology products in two large tablets and the concept smartphone, which is a display technology which helps to protect the eye. So it filters out all the harmful blue light. Then we show a first VR goggles from TCL with very high resolution displays, VR displays. And then I think the highlight is our AR glasses, the TCL Ray Neo X2, which is the world's first AR glasses using binocular, full color, optical waveguide micro LED displays. So usually you just have AR glasses with one display or monocolor. So we show this combination doesn't exist yet, and we are the first one showing it.
How do you see people using these glasses, and when can people actually start using them?
By the end of the first quarter, we're going to do a launch to the developer community. We want to make sure that all the AR content works very smooth. And then we still hope that within the first half of 23, that we can do a commercial launch towards consumers as well. Some of the really cool features I personally like is real-time translation. So if I use these glasses, I can have a face-to-face conversation in China, and I'm not speaking Chinese, and it gives me a real-time translation in subtitles on the display. And then the other thing is for navigation. For example, if I'm on my bike, I don't have a hand free. It gives me turn-by-turn navigation and really helps me to go through, and I don't need to watch on a phone or something like this. So this makes it much more safe for me to move around.
All right, coming up, new year, new inbox. We'll share tips and tricks on how to organize your emails and more after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The amount of digital clutter we amass on our devices can be, well, massive. If you have thousands or tens of thousands of emails sitting in your inbox, or countless photos you've taken and then forgotten about, you may be guilty of cyber hoarding. But not all hope is lost. To help you kick off the new year with some digital cleaning tips, I'm joined by Julie Jargon. She's the WSJ's family and tech columnist. Hi, Julie. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Julie, you looked into cyber hoarding. How big of a deal is this?
Well, it's a pretty common thing. There was a company called HighSpeedInternet.com, and they conducted a study recently and found that about half of U.S. adults only delete their email regularly. And then we only open about more than half of our messages that we receive. And it's really adding up to a lot of stress. 62% of the survey's respondents reported that they feel anxious about all of their digital stuff. HighSpeedInternet.com also found that too much digital clutter can slow down your internet performance.
So all of this cyber clutter seems to be very overwhelming for people. What do experts say about why we keep digital clutter if it makes us so anxious?
Well, a lot of people hold on to emails and documents because they think that someday they might need them again. I talked to one psychology professor who said it's just like people holding on to that old pair of pants that don't fit them anymore, thinking that they might fit someday in the future or come back into style. So the same thing is at play with the digital stuff that we hold on to. We think that the moment we delete it, we're going to need to find that document or email, and then we're going to be in trouble.
All right, then, let's get into some tips for decluttering. Before we dive into any specifics, are there any more general rules or advice to keep in mind while we do this cleaning?
The most important thing is to start out small. Take baby steps, because it can be really overwhelming if you try to think about all of your digital clutter. And so it's helpful to start with one category of digital clutter and also start in small chunks. So for example, if you want to start going through unread emails or old documents, set aside some time and choose 1 month worth of unread emails to go through. And then some psychologists also suggest using some different techniques to reinforce good behavior. So you could set aside, for example, 10 or 15 minutes of deleting old emails, and then reward yourself right afterwards with 10 to 15 minutes playing a game on your phone or scrolling through social media.
So I'm looking at my personal email inbox right now. I have 1,300 emails. They've all been read, but there are 1,300 that are just sitting there in my general inbox. My work email has 3,200 emails. I mean, how do I even start clearing this up?
Well, first of all, you want to limit the number of accounts that you have. So you mentioned you have an email account for work. You might have one for personal emails and one for spam. You want to delete any extra accounts that you might have, because some people say you really don't need to have any more than 3 email accounts. Next, you can sort your emails into folders so that they're outside of your inbox. So once you've read an email and it goes into a certain category of email, you can label it and put it in a folder so that it's not looking at you from your inbox. For example, you know, as a reporter myself, I might have categories of emails based on when I need to respond to them, or for example, they might fall into certain categories of coverage. So I might have emails about video games for the work that I do with my column. I might have emails that pertain to screen time. One thing that I found to be really helpful that I wasn't doing before is you can mark an email as unread, even if you've already read it. So for me, I forget to respond to an email once I've read it and received it. If I try to set it aside and think to go back later, I completely forget. So if I have unread email messages, I find those because they're bolded and I can easily search for those in my inbox. There are some ways that Gmail and Microsoft Outlook have automated ways to manage email. So you can silence notifications, you can snooze messages until you want to read them. And there are also some third-party services that can help you manage your inbox, one of which is called Clean Email. And you can use these functions that exist within your own inbox or these third-party services to time email to be received or to be sent at certain times so that you don't feel overwhelmed by the constant influx of emails all day long.
You know, a lot of those emails also have attachments, and some of those attachments are documents that are very important. Sometimes I download them. Other times I don't bother clearing up the email, since I figure if it's in my inbox, it's stored as a backup. And that way I have 2 copies, one locally on my computer and one in my email. Is there a better way for me to do this?
I think you're doing the right thing that you have a couple of different copies, because the most important thing is to have backups of important documents. If it's only stored locally, like on your computer and only in your email, that might not be enough. If you have a cloud-based service or way to save the most important documents, whether it's Dropbox or Google Drive, that is kind of a good safeguard for not losing something that you really want to be able to find. You know, if your computer goes on the fritz or your email is down and you need to find a document quickly, it's good to have a document somewhere else that you can access from another device.
I mean, I'm glad to hear that I'm doing at least one thing right here, keeping double copies. Let's move on to another very big piece of digital clutter that a lot of us have, photos.
Yeah, the photos are just a major source of pain for people, because we take so many, because we have a camera in our hands at all times, we're constantly taking photos. And again, the fact that you have some backups is a good thing. So saving photos to the cloud is really, really important if you want to make sure you don't lose them. You can also use third-party storage service like Dropbox to save photos to. In terms of organizing your photos, you can create albums within your camera roll so that you can quickly find things you need. Apple Photos and Google Photos have smart identification tools that can, you know, label and sort photos based on people that are in them or pets. And if you add labels to your favorite photos, then you can quickly find your cat pictures or your photos of your grandma. I've been in the position where it was my mom's 80th birthday last year, and my brother asked me to find some of my favorite photos that I had of her. And I had a hard time scrolling through my phone trying to find photos because I don't live in the same state as her, so I don't take a lot of pictures of her. So I had to sort through and try to find photos.
All right, WSJ family and tech columnist Julie Jargon, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And that is it for today's tech news briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Discover the extraordinary ideas shaping our future at the Future of Everything Festival when The Wall Street Journal brings together leaders from business, science, sports, and culture, May 2nd through 4th at Spring Studios in New York City. Register today using code PODCAST to receive 20% off your ticket. Visit wsj.com/FOEF podcast to secure your spot.